This is fun! The FU Network.
Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
And today on the pod, well, first I should probably say you noticed the bumper at the top of the show. That is because we are now, thanks to Ed the Sock, members of the FU Network. So that expands our reach a little bit more, and we are proud to be part of this network and look forward to collaborating. But today on the pod, we're going to be talking about, well, what else? The minority government, the election results from Monday. Also want to talk a little bit about, the gross attacks that continue on Environment Minister and Ottawa Centre MP Catherine McKenna. And what do we each expect for this minority parliament? But first, Leanne is having an awful day because she has a very sick family member, a cat. And Leanne, very glad that you could be here, even though it's very tough.
It is, but he's 17. But, you know, it's just the problem is you got to tell yourself, okay, what day am I going to make the decision? Like, how long do I let it go? So today is the day I got to make the decision. So I was a bit late calling in because I was a bit preoccupied about my suffering kitty.
No, I totally get it. All right. Well, let's talk about the election results.
Your next government will be a Liberal minority government. Justin Trudeau will get a second mandate, but his majority from 2015 no longer.
Liberals pull it out of the fire at the very end. Thank God for big rallies and a coherent message in the last 7 days of the election campaign. We saw the Liberals get a pretty strong majority government with 157 seats.
Minority
government. But were it not for, that was wishful thinking, Freudian slip, were it not for Quebec and the rise of the Bloc Québécois, I think it's fair to say that they probably would have had a majority government about the same size as when they left. But the way that the vote shook out, 157 seats for the Liberals, 121 for the Conservatives, Bloc Québécois 32, the NDP 24, the Greens 3, and Independents, that would be Jody Wilson-Raybould, 1. So we now have Prime Minister Trudeau for another couple of years, and if the media could all stop calling him Justin Trudeau or by his last name, that would be appreciated. A little respect, please. So
what do you mean by his last name?
Oh, I hate
that
it.
That is his
Don
last
Martin
name.
All the time is always like Trudeau and Trudeau. He never says
why
the
do
prime
that
minister.
All the time?
Yeah, well,
you said it. We said Obama all the time. We said, you know, Bush all the time. You're splitting hairs, man.
Probably.
You're losing it, man.
Yeah, probably.
Here's the thing, and we get this all the time. I used to get this all the time at CP. If you wrote a story and you say on first reference Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and then for the rest of the story, you call him Harper. You wouldn't believe the hate mail we got from the crazies in Alberta that we were being disrespectful by not calling him Prime Minister Harper throughout the story. It's like, it doesn't work that way. You use the full title, first reference, and then you use the last name.
No, I'm like, talking on TV.
They all do that.
Yeah, but Don Martin in particular, when he's on CTV, whatever his show is, Power Play.
We're leading into people out west, which I think we are, being a little sensitive, I don't think we should lead the show off with you talking about semantics of what people call Trudeau.
Well, let me also just say I always refer to him as President Bush, also best president ever.
Yeah.
Anybody surprised by the results? Happy, pleasantly surprised, disappointed? Mike, you get to go first.
It's what I kind of thought it would be. I'm not surprised. I'm not disappointed. And, you know, it was a kind of, for the fact that this election was easily the nastiest election that I can think of in my memory, and just how, I mean, of course, we talked about this in our last pod, so go back. I'm not going to repeat why we think it was that way, but it was kind of anticlimactic at the end, right? I mean, did anybody really look at this and be like, holy shit, like, I can't believe that the Liberals won a minority government? Nobody's surprised, except maybe Andrew Scheer, but he drank a lot of milk the night before, so he didn't get his majority, but nobody is surprised at what happened.
Leanne?
I was actually surprised at the size of the
except
minority.
Leanne.
I thought it would be a really slim minority. Like, I didn't think they'd be in such a good position. And so that was surprising, and I was relieved because, yes, I'm one of the people that everybody hates right now who strategically voted, but, you know, it's not ideal. I wish we could always vote for exactly who we wanted, but when there's a huge threat from the right, and this guy was a threat in my mind, then you vote strategically. But we had a really interesting piece in the conversation the other day about why the Bloc was able to best them in Quebec, or did so well in Quebec, and it was because they weren't really offering anything that the Liberal Party that applied to Quebec. Like, a lot of the things they were offering Quebec already has, like a provincial pharmacare. So they weren't getting any hits there. Their housing strategy, Quebec is way ahead of the rest of the country on housing, and it's not as big an issue in Quebec because their cities aren't like Vancouver and Toronto. So that didn't resonate. Like, big portions of the Liberal platform didn't really appeal to Quebec.
Well, that and Bill 21.
So, yeah, Bill 21. But that was just one thing. There were all sorts of things that were in their platform that Quebecers, like initiatives that they were proposing that they already have in Quebec. So it kind of made a lot of sense when I read this piece that explained it a bit better than I had thought about it. It wasn't so much a complete, the Liberals still did well. It wasn't a complete, snub of Trudeau. It was just that, you know what, your platform doesn't have a lot in it for us. So, no thanks. Plus, the Bloc is anti-pipeline, and most Quebecers are anti-pipeline. And it's not a separatist thing. It's not like Quebecers want to separate. It's just they voted in their own interests, and the Bloc had more to offer them. So I found that interesting. But you're totally right, Cameron. It's all about the Bloc. If the Bloc, if the Liberals had got, you know, a few more seats, had done as well in Quebec as they did in 2015, we'd be in another majority situation. So it really wasn't a threat from Scheer at all.
No, exactly.
So that's good.
I know. So I predicted, I think, a slim minority or a majority government in the last pod, but pleasantly surprised with what happened. Thank you to Atlantic Canada, Quebec, Ontario, and BC for saving us from a Andrew Scheer-led government. Now, the question becomes whether or not, and I should just, let me digress for a second. Those provinces and the people and the voters in those provinces gave us a Liberal government. So naturally, we have people like Jason Kenney and Scott Moe, the premiers of Saskatchewan and Alberta and Saskatchewan, respectively, crapping all over it and basically calling the prime minister an illegitimate prime minister, including former Reform Party MP Jay Hill, who now calls himself apparently a Western separatist. Kenny's going around saying that Trudeau's not going to push him out of his country. Scott Moe is saying that there's a list of demands that the prime minister better give Saskatchewan, including a new deal on equalization and get the pipeline built. Of course, the prime minister has said in his press conference, yes, the pipeline will be built. That is non-negotiable. But, of course, the two small men of Confederation, Kenny and Mo, have decided that they are going to try and delegitimize the prime minister. I don't recall their delegitimizing the prime minister when Harper was wiped out in Newfoundland in the 2011 or the 2008 election. But irrespective, I'm pleased with the results. But it really ticks me off when I hear commentators talking about Andrew Scheer. He won the popular vote. We don't do popular vote in this country. And when you run the popular vote totals up in a place like Alberta, it's a little bit of it fools people. I mean, he had lower percentages than the Tories got in 2015 in Ontario, in Quebec, in Atlantic Canada. And then they crow about how more Canadians voted for him. Well, not in the most populous places, Andrew, not in the not in most urban centers either. So Tories have a long problem that they've got to solve. But my question to you two is Andrew Scheer going to be around for the next election?
I think so.
Oh,
do you?
Look at that. I do. Yeah, I do think so. I didn't think so. And I've been talking to a few people that know more about this than I do. And they're pretty convinced that he's going to stick around. I mean, I've heard Peter McKay's gearing up for a leadership run. That's the rumor mill. But I mean, they have to have the Tories have to have a leadership vote in April, regardless of what happens, because it's just that's what they have to do. So we'll see if he survives that. But I mean, Andrew Scheer doesn't appear that he's going anywhere voluntarily. So, you know, he had those couple press conferences since the election where he was kind of just campaigning for his own job. But I mean, he's going to not go down without a fight. And if the Tories get in a big leadership battle where Andrew, they're trying to get rid of Scheer and he doesn't want to go, then that would be a great time for the Liberals to call another election, right? So I think there's some strategy right. in him not leaving until the next election.
Leanne, you think he's gone?
Well, I've heard the knives are out, but, you know, who knows? I don't know any more than anybody else on that front. I thought he said a really stupid thing. Was it he might have even been today or maybe it was late yesterday. Once again, pointing out that he's pro-life. It's like, well, you know, you need to shut the fuck up about that. Right? Like, he doesn't think there's any problem with him being pro-life and against same-sex marriage. He can still be a good prime minister. You see that he said that the other day?
Yeah, he said the exact quote was something that... Yeah, well, the exact quote, and then I can't quote it, but it basically said yeah. that you can be a social conservative in Canada and still stand up for social rights of women as it pertains to reproductive choices and gay rights and all that. No, you can't. Okay, like this is not. Well, why is he stuck at 20 years ago? Like it's. You know what? Get a better leader, conservatives, because this guy is a millstone around your neck.
Yeah, no, I'd get rid of him now if I were them. And I'm hearing that some factions of the party want to get rid of him and want to just excise the entire Harper thing. Like, why is Harper still wielding so much power over this party? Because Harper was his puppet master, right? And Harper was the one who said the other day, no, not so fast about getting rid of Scheer. Everybody needs to take a deep breath. But I'm also hearing that another faction would like to be rid of him. So we'll see. If they're going to do it, they got to do it now.
They got to do it now.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, here's
I'm not sure.
I think that this minority parliament, first of all, can last if people do it properly. There's no reason this minority government can't last 2.5 to 3 years, even the full four. I mean, the Liberals have 157 seats. The New Democrats are broke. Like, legitimately, they have no money. So they need to refill their coffers. The Greens also did not do very well, only securing 3 seats. And, you know, to be perfectly blunt, some of the MPs, even in the Conservative Party and of course, in the Bloc, some of them have only served for 4 years, and you need 6 years before you get your pension eligibility, your federal pension eligibility. So there's no reason why that this government, this parliament couldn't survive longer. It's going to take some putting water into wine for all the members of the parties. And I hope that they can accomplish some good stuff. I mean, I think that Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh can obviously deliver on pharmacare and childcare. I think that's very good. But can we just talk really quick about Jagmeet Singh? Because here's a guy that ran around the country. He was going before signs that said uprising.
Which is awesome.
Well, maybe. Okay. Except that, like,
you loved him, mate. Cameron, you love Jagmeet.
You know something? He's just so, I mean, everything he says is a platitude, like absolutely everything. And he's so bereft of any sort of substance. But maybe he'll get better. I don't know. But guy runs around the country, gives like, I think, is he still giving his victory speech from election night? Cause that thing went on forever. And he lost half his seats. And he barely hung on to his own in Burnaby. And this guy thinks he's a champion.
It was weird. Thomas Walkham had a great column in The Star about how every single speech sounded like all of them, including May and Singh, made it sound like they just won these huge victories. When it was just like, like, you actually did way worse than you expected to do. And why are you carrying on like you've just won? All of them did that, he pointed out.
Although
nobody was humble or anything.
Well, and then there was the whole, you know, cluster of all of them, Singh speaking too long, Scheer cutting off Singh.
I know what.
And Trudeau cutting off Scheer. But of course, Trudeau was the only one who really got dumped on for doing that, except that.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? It was approaching 2 a.m. and just get it over with. All of them were bad. They all should have known better. But I want to talk a quick about Jagmeet Singh here. Because yesterday, Rachel Notley, the former premier of Alberta, I guess he reached out to her. And, of course, Jagmeet Singh ran around the country saying that he was going to make sure that TMX was canceled, that he would use his leverage to make sure that that project didn't go through. I want you to listen to this clip, though, of what now opposition leader, but former Premier of Alberta, Rachel Notley, said about her conversation with Jagmeet Singh.
When I talked to him, I made the case that the uncertainty he's creating with respect to his position on TMX continuing is hurting workers in Alberta. It's creating investor uncertainty and thus limiting job growth or potentially limiting job growth. And it, quite frankly, it hurts the whole Canadian economy. And so I talked to him about that. And then I talked to him about the fact that, quite honestly, he does not have the leverage to make this change in the House of Commons as it's currently constructed. So he should stop talking about it and focus on things where he has more consensus with respect to his priorities, like pharmacare. And so that was the point that I made. I think he can win on that, and he needs to stop hurting jobs and accelerating anxiety around the kitchen tables in the province of Alberta.
Was he receptive to that, and did he give you any assurances that, for example, he wouldn't predicate his support of a confidence bill or a confidence any confidence vote in the House on stopping Trans Mountain?
Not surprisingly, he took the position that he was on the phone call to listen and that he wasn't going to negotiate with the federal government in the media or through me in the media. So I didn't get a clear sense one way or the other.
See, now, that says it all for me. I mean, I know that you two are not in favor of the pipeline, and I understand that the NDP isn't either. But for him to basically, and I take her at her word, dismiss what she was saying, which is what it sounds like he did. This is also a man that never met with her when she was premier for the 2 years that he was leader, didn't bother to even talk with her. And I tweeted out the other day that I find it very funny that, you know, Rachel Notley takes her party from four seats to a majority government in 2015. Mm-hmm. When she loses in 2019, she still forms the only opposition party in the Alberta legislature and one of the strongest ones in decades. She's incredibly popular and she has a long-term future. Jagmeet Singh runs a crappy campaign. Well, okay campaign.
Pretty good campaign.
Farts around, though, for 2 years, barely knowing his brief, raising no money.
Right.
And sees his seat counts cut in half, but he has nothing to learn from Rachel Notley. I just find that really offensive.
Yeah, no shit.
I actually agree with you. I agree with you. I think he should have been in touch with her and leaning on her and relying on her, right?
Yeah.
For sure. And the point I think that she made that was the smartest is like, why don't you just focus on the things that people are, that you actually could have some sway over?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why are you continuing to harp on about the pipeline? Like, it's bad. It's stupid politics. Like, focus on the things that Canadians want and have shown that they want, that you can actually have some say in the new minority parliament. Why is he, you know, and also that he's never spoken to her before until then?
Well, he has, but during time as premier, or during her time as premier, he never bothered to go to Alberta and meet with her, ever.
Because he had no money.
Crazy.
Well, maybe not, but he also publicly went after her on TMX.
How about frequent flyer miles?
Or Greyhound.
Yeah, no, like the NDP had no, I'm surprised, I don't know where they got the money for their campaign. I mean, the one thing that probably came out of this good, I think it was a good campaign that Singh won, in the last election, is they probably got some donations, which they sorely needed.
Yeah, probably from Tories who wanted them to split the vote. Okay, nobody thought that was funny.
I didn't think he ran a bad campaign. I just didn't think he was a good leader for the previous 2 years leading up to the campaign. And the fact that people were loving him because he was, you know, personable in the debates, that's a pretty weird reason to decide that you want someone to be your prime minister. But also, campaigns are important. We can say that they aren't, but they are. They change. They're game changers. Like, you know, like
totally.
4 weeks before the election are complete game changers. So he managed to run a good campaign, and now everybody's looking more favorably on him and forgetting that for 2 years he was sort of missing in action, right? It's weird.
Well, she is right.
It just goes to show you how fickle and personality-driven we are when it comes to politics. We get into personalities more than what they've actually done or what they're actually proposing to do.
So One other thing I would say that she is absolutely bang on about, and you nailed it too, is focus on the things that you can get done in this parliament, because the composition wouldn't mm-hmm. allow you to torpedo TMX anyway, which leads me to the Conservatives. My Conservative mother, who votes and donates to the Conservatives, or at least votes for them, I'm not sure if she's still donating as much as she used to, but she was talking to me after, and she's no fan of the Liberals or the Prime Minister or, frankly, you know, left of center politics, but she said, I wanted you to know that I heard the Prime Minister's press conference today. And this was, I guess, yesterday on the 23rd, no, day before yesterday on the 23rd, when the Prime Minister addressed the media for post-election news conference. And she said, I really appreciated his tone. He sounded like he was, you know, humbled. And she said, that was really nice. And she said, and I really appreciated that he's doubling down on the pipeline. And then she said, and let me tell you this, if the Conservatives decide to fuck around and not support him when he needs support for the TMX, I will never vote Conservative again. And so I'd like to know if the Conservatives will support him on that, because they seem pretty hungry to try and see if they can take him down in the early part here. And I think there's going to be a lot of gamesmanship. So, you know, she's one voter, but if the Conservatives want my mom's vote again, and I'm sure millions more like her, they maybe want to dial down the rhetoric a little bit and show themselves to be adults and cooperate. So let's switch tactics now that we're topics. Now that we're talking about
topics.
Catherine McKenna, who is our current Minister of the Environment, the new cabinet, by the way, will be sworn in November the 20th, and also the re-elected Member of Parliament for Ottawa Centre, has been for not only the last year, but frankly, the last 4 years since becoming Environment Minister and being a champion of, climate change policy, standing up for the environment, anything you can imagine. Frankly, just being a strong woman, she has to have now an RCMP detail for most of her events, or when she's out personally. She receives threats. She gets misogynistic and disgusting comments to everything she writes on Twitter. The Conservatives styled her Climate Barbie. Rebel Media, of course, has chomped at the bit on that as well. But yesterday, as I woke up, the first story I saw on the news was that somebody had, pardon my language, spray painted cunt across Catherine mm-hmm. McKenna's her campaign office, as I guess a response to her winning her seat again, and the strength of her character and her, her impact on policies. Listen to how she responded, then I want to talk about how we fix this. Go.
That someone would do this, like, I don't even have words to describe what kind of person would do this. It's the same as the trolls on Twitter. It needs to stop. That we need to come together as a country and have real discussions about real issues, but doing it in a way without vitriol, without hate, and without anger. I really believe in politics. That is why I do it. That's why I work hard every single day for the residents of Ottawa Centre and on big national issues like climate change. It was not a great campaign. It was very negative and divisive, and I think we can do better, and I will work on that. But it's not going to chase me out of politics. It's just going to make me recommit to making it a better place for women, but for diversity of all sorts. I have two daughters. I have so many young women and women on my campaign of all ages. They believe in politics, and so do I. But we do need to call this out because it's unacceptable. And we've seen what happens in other places, in other countries. And we've seen what's happened in this campaign. Isn't about me. It's about what kind of politics we want in our country.
Okay, Leanne, I want you to take this because I want to know why she's such a target. Like, why her? Why such? I mean, it's blatant misogyny. It's hate speech. Frankly, it's a hate crime. What somebody did to her. What? Why her? What is it about her that is so angering to so many people on the right?
Well, she's smart. She's attractive. I do believe that her physical attractiveness probably plays a role. And look what's going on with this Greta Thunberg, the abuse aimed at that kid. There's a lot of men out there who have a serious issue with smart, outspoken, even physically attractive women. Like, it's gross. I got into a Facebook argument the other day with a guy, you know, a friend, like, I won't even tell you the connection, but he's got a young daughter who's kick-ass, this feisty little girl who rides dirt bikes, and he's posting shit about Greta Thunberg all the time. And I just finally lost it and just said, like, as a father of a seven-year-old daughter who could well grow up to be that kind of kid, why do you have a problem with her? I realize he's got mommy issues, and a lot of them do. Like, I hate to say it, if you peel back the layers on a lot of these guys, there's mother issues. And why is Catherine McKenna, it's, you know, it's not just her. Why her? Any woman gets it. Notley got it. Wynn, my God, the vitriol and terrible things that were said about Kathleen Wynn.
Yeah.
And honestly, I really, the site that I do some work for, The Conversation Canada, when I put up these pieces, anything to do with climate, Greta Thunberg, anything like that, the comments immediately devolved into these angry, it's all guys. It's all a bunch of men just spewing the most terrible shit. I'm constantly killing out comments, and it's all a bunch of guys, and I don't understand it. And they're of all ages. And, you know, this is something that women deal with. Did you see the other night with this comedian when Harvey Weinstein is in the audience?
No.
Where she called him out?
No. Yeah, I saw
a comedian in a New York City club. It's a, like, comedy night. And there he is sitting with his holding court with a bunch of people, guys and women. There's Harvey Weinstein in the audience. Now, this comedian was a rape victim. And she called him out. And, you know, call, oh, look, Freddy Krueger's here. I didn't realize I had to bring my rape whistle and my mace to perform here tonight. She got booed and told to shut up. Like, it's just, I know that men are always astonished when this shit happens, but it's part of being a woman in the public eye. Like, we saw what Hillary Clinton went through, like, nagging old shrew, she was always called. The same guy on my Facebook feed who was shitting on Greta Thunberg was like a vitriolic against Hillary Clinton. Didn't like her voice. She was too old. Like, it's just, go to therapy and figure out what your issue is with women, motherfuckers, and leave people like Catherine McKenna alone. Like, just figure out what it is about a smart woman that makes you so angry.
Okay, but before, like, Mike jumps
figure
in,
it out.
But before Mike jumps in here, I just want, I want to ask one other thing. But why is it not, and I'm not saying that Lisa Raitt, who lost, by the way, to Liberal, incoming Liberal MP Adam Van Coverden, which was a great win.
Well, honestly, seems
but why
like,
doesn't
really,
she?
I thought he seemed like a bit of a douche in the scrum. Did you see the scrum?
I did not.
Anyway, we'll talk about him later.
But
I'm not sold on that guy.
But my whole point is, like, why does it seem as though it doesn't? And you know what? Let me be clear. I imagine it does happen to women on the right as well. But why is it so much more pronounced?
Oh, of course it does.
Why is it so much more pronounced in this case? I don't know. I don't think, I'm generalizing here, but I don't think that Michelle Rempel gets the same level of hate, or at least she does, but not the personal and the crude that is fired at Catherine.
You actually are right about that. I'm certainly women on the right get it, but I don't think they get it to the same extent, because men on the left aren't generally going to go and spray paint cunt on, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' door. You know what I mean? They just won't, because they're, I hate to use the word woke, but they're just a bit more intelligent to resort to that. I'm not saying that she didn't get a lot of abuse. She did, for sure. And I'm not saying that all men on the left would never do such a thing. Of course they would. But I do think you're right. I think it's more of a problem for women, progressive women. Because the right-wing parties attract particularly Neanderthal men because of their policies. Right?
So, Mike, you have a young little daughter. Now, how would that make you feel looking at, I mean, obviously it's not going to make you feel good, but what would you say to your daughter if she was old enough to see this kind of crap going on in Canadian politics? Like, how do you deal with that as a parent?
I don't have a ton to say in the sense that Leanne covered it very well. And I think that Catherine McKenna covered it very well in her speech. I mean, it should just make you want to fight harder. I mean, I can't even begin to put myself. I'm far too lazy to actually get up and walk down like to an office with a and go buy a can of spray paint and actually do that. Like, even if it was like great job,
lazy.
Like just to spray paint, like good job, Catherine. Like I can't put myself in someone's head that would do that. Right. Like I do understand, yeah. Not that I would do it on Twitter, but I can understand, you know, someone sitting in their house and pounding off something on Twitter and hitting send. I can understand that because you don't have to put any effort.
Right there.
But to actually, yeah. Like, think about it, like to actually get up and go outside and go down to her office. It's not like you just had a can of spray paint and you're randomly walking by. Like, that was something you had to plan to do. And that's all he did. Like, just spray paint that terrible word. Like, if you're going to decide to go commit vandalism, like, I don't know. Like, that seems, it's like the laziest crime, but also I'm too lazy to do it. So I have no idea why someone would do that. But I think that her response of it just makes her want to fight harder is a good response, because no one's going to take someone like that seriously. Well, I don't. I mean, they could be very dangerous people. They could definitely harm someone if they're in the vicinity, but someone that would actually take the time to do that is a loser. And there's no other way around that. Like, I can't put myself in their head. That is not a smart crime. That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And I don't know, like, it's obviously the person that did it is just like, I don't know.
It's either a kid, it's either some 22-year-old kid or it's some angry old man.
But yeah, like imagine the old
effort. Yeah.
I'm yeah. thinking like a, yeah, like some old fat guy with a mustache.
Yeah,
with apologies to nice fat guys with like, mustaches.
Yeah. Right. Like, but like some old
yeah,
guy's
you know what I'm
wife
saying.
Left
like
them
wearing a MAGA hat
for a
something.
University professor. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he
it's
stinks.
Either an old guy or a young, stupid kid.
And he stinks.
What I want to know, are the police investigating? Like, there must be a security camera. Like, I want them to charge the guy, right? Like, that's a hate crime.
I agree. It is a hate crime. I will say, you know, my, so they are investigating. She, during the election, she came out to Kanata Carlton, where I was working on Karen McCrimmon's campaign, who won re-election against that nutter, Justina McCaffrey, who was just Faith Goldie's bestie, as she was described.
Right.
Anyway, Karen won, which is good. Minister McKenna came out, I guess it was 2 weeks before the election, to Dornoch, or the weekend before the election to Dornoch. And I'd never met her before. I mean, I respect her. But you know, you don't know a person. She was wonderful. I have never seen somebody. I mean, Karen is crazy energetic. Catherine McKenna is crazier energetic. She's like pumping people up. She's like going door to door. She's bounding up and down the stairs. People, like, as soon as we would say, you know, if you have any questions about our climate change policy or environmental policy, Karen is here. We also have Catherine McKenna, and people would be like, they looked stunned. Some people that were like, yeah, I got a few questions for her. And then you'd see her. She was like, all right, let's do it. And she'd go right in. And those people would walk away, or she would walk away, and they just had big smiles on their face and a really good conversation, because she treated them with respect and didn't diminish their intelligence. She heard them out and she dealt with them on facts. She was so impressive. Like, she totally blew me away, more than I thought I would be. She was fantastic. Mm. So much energy. And I think that we do this quite often, is we get into this perception of a caricature of somebody and what they might be like, or how they might behave. And it's always harder to hate up close. And I think that's what I saw on the campaign trail. Most people were delighted to see her. Some people were like, yeah, I got some questions. And even those people after, like, it was a complete 180, because it becomes more difficult when somebody's in front of you and you see the person and you're dealing with them mm-hmm. as equals. And I just, you know, I can't say enough good things, because she honestly just blew me away. And I think she blew a lot of residents in that community. And that community where we went in was pretty blue area where we were campaigning that day. And she is like, just no fear, fearless, upfront, powerful. And she's not going to, you know, she'll speak her truth, to borrow a phrase from Jody Wilson-Raybould. But she speaks a truth that is based in fact and evidence. And we should all have her back. I hope we all do have her back going forward. And God, I hope that nothing bad happens to her, because whoever this guy is that did this, and the people who make threats on her, You know, that it's a shameful way for Canadian politics to be. And I just wish her nothing but the best. And just going to keep an eye out for her and people, you know, who are going after her because she doesn't deserve it. She's a mom. No, none of them deserve it, regardless of party. But she's a mom of two little girls, and it's awful.
The big elephant in the room that socially we need to fucking address, because it's the same thing that plays a part in mass shooting in the States, is what the fuck is wrong with men? Like, why are they so angry? And why are they so threatened by things? Like, white men in particular. What is wrong with you? Like, can we try to figure out why they're so angry and why they aren't all in therapy? Because most of, like, Trump, most of the world's ills are due to a bunch of angry fucking white men. And I'm personally over it, with the exception of you two, of course.
I'm never angry.
And my
I'm just always happy.
And my darling son, my sweet darling son, who has been sitting here through this whole thing and looking somewhat terrified that, at my language. You know what I mean? Like, it's the big thing that, why are they, why, what is the anger about? What are you so afraid of? Is it because you've ruled the world for all these years and suddenly you're nervous? I mean, I don't know. It's so depressing.
It is depressing.
So many men with so many anger issues and issues with women, the incel guys, the, like, honest to God, shake it off, you losers.
That's the problem. That's why they're incels. Too often they're shaking it off. You see, that's why they're so angry, if you get my drift. Okay, I want to close this off by asking you for somebody that you were, because you touched on it, happy to see win, disappointed to see win, or, you know, a prediction for what this parliament's going to look like, or both. Mike, you go first.
I'm going to have to go with my hometown riding in Nova Scotia, where a washed up country singer who goes by the name of George Canyon, although that's not his real name, his name's like Frederick Lays. He was parachuted in to run in Peter McKay's old riding. Basically, you know, to try to, because I actually don't know why the conservative candidate that they had just quit. Right. And Sean Fraser, liberal, young guy, really good for the community. He was the incumbent coming in, and George Canyon parachuted in. And I guess he was like playing guitar, like during his rallies and stuff. Like, it was like this awful, I don't know. They parachuted this country and Western singer in, who I actually Googled him. He has a lot. He has like a greatest hits album. Like, he's apparently a legit country and Western guy. He lives in Alberta. They take him in. Yeah, of course. He was born in my hometown. So they take him in. Oh, you hear my dog in the background?
Hey, Winston.
And he loses. He loses, which is hilarious. And so that was my, I was really keeping a close eye on that riding, and it was good because the East Coast went first. So I got to see that early. My dog is upset that I'm talking. Yeah. Anyways, that was my favorite. George Canyon. See you later.
All right. Leanne? Okay.
I honestly was disappointed. You know that I'm a progressive, but I was disappointed to see Lisa Raitt go down, because I honestly think that she was a sane, progressive, moderate voice in that party, and maybe she could have pulled it out of this tailspin that it's taking down towards, you know, the worst possible instincts of white nationalism and everything else. Like, I think she could have saved that party. And I saw Ronna Ambrose that night really shaken that Lisa Raitt had gone down. And also that guy who won, I don't know if these guys saw him being scrum, but he struck me as a bit of a douche.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I like him. I think he's great.
He's attractive, but he seemed cocky to me. So I hope Trudeau doesn't do something stupid like put him in cabinet, because he's not cabinet ready. And we saw what happens when you put people in cabinet who are not cabinet ready. So make him sit there for 4 years and be a backbencher and learn a few things, because he struck me as super cocky. Anyway, I was disappointed to see Lisa Raitt go down. I actually like Lisa Raitt. And now people are like, oh, now all the other conservative women can stand up. Oh, great. I look forward to more Michelle Rempel. Please bring on more Michelle Rempel. Like, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
And Candace Bergen. Come on, Candace Bergen.
Like, that's who the conservative party. I don't hate her as much as you do. But anyway, so I was disappointed to see her go down. And you know what? I'll say this. I was glad to see Trudeau win, because I honestly think that he has seemed humble. Like, I actually kind of, as much as I hated him when blackface came out, I did. I changed my feelings for him. But since then, he has struck me as quite humbled, and maybe he's actually going to be a better prime minister in this situation where he's been scared. He was on the brink. He did a lot of stupid things that he had to fess up to. And he seems to me like almost like a more mature person now. Like he went through some shit in that campaign and now he's like, okay, I better smarten up. That's my feeling. So I was glad to see him win.
Well, no great surprise. I am delighted to see that Jane Philpott lost. As much as Jane Philpott used to be my favorite cabinet minister, when she decided she was going to be lamb chop to Jody's Sherry Lewis, I decided that that was no longer for me. So, Jane, you came in third. Very disappointed that you crossed the floor and decided that Jody was better than Progress. And enjoy your retirement. My disappointment, of course, conversely, is that Jody Wilson-Raybould won her seat in Vancouver Granville. I do take some consolation from the fact, though, that the composition of the House of Commons means that she is going to languish, likely in irrelevance, in some corner of the Commons, unresourced, unheeded, and she will only crop up when the media is looking for some sort of way to hurt Trudeau. But even people are getting tired at that. I went to a lot of doors in Kanata Carlton. I can tell you, not one person I spoke to raised SNC-Lavalin. So one pony, Jody, enjoy your seat in the corner. And I think it's no great surprise. I'm like you. I'm delighted, obviously, with the election results. I do feel like we dodged a bullet. I think that the other thing that has struck me as well is just some of the feedback from around the world. People seem to have breathed a collective sigh of relief.
Yeah.
That we kind of pushed back against the populist rise, the right-wing trolls, and, you know, voted for the planet. And I think that is great on mm-hmm. all of us. And there, I guess Mike just died.
Did Mike slip?
No, I'm right here. Okay, my dog walked by and knocked my my laptop charger off. But, you know, I have enough juice.
I love him, whoever he is.
His name is Winston, and he's great.
One last thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw, well, speaking of SNC-Lavalin, I'll keep this short because we're running on, but I don't know if you saw Coyne kept bringing up SNC-Lavalin the night of the election on the CBC panel, like kept suggesting it was really going to come back to haunt him. And each time, Chantal Hebert, who I love, just basically said, oh, like, shut the fuck up. Like, no, it's not an issue. People didn't care. The election proves that people don't care. And also, CTV had this amazing female, like, woman voter from BC with her husband. He was voting Green. She was voting Liberal. And they asked her, what about SNC-Lavalin? And she said, you know, the moment that it came out that she had surreptitiously taped the Privy Council guy is the moment I realized I don't trust this woman. Like, it was too complicated a scandal to even follow. There were all sorts of conflicting issues. It was made clear that no crime was committed, so why was I supposed to care? And then it comes out that she's surreptitiously taping people. So, fuck you, Andrew Coyne. It's over. I really believe that it's no one cares, even if it escalated in some way. I just don't think that the electorate or the population, it just wasn't media. There was nobody stood to gain except SNC-Lavalin. And even then, it wasn't like they were getting off the hook. So it's just weird, not a scandal. Chantal, if you're listening, which we know you are not, but if you are, we love you.
We do.
Anyway.
No, it's good. But I will say that Andrew Coyne kind of fits that bill of the white middle-aged crank who doesn't like anything progressive and just sits on his porch and bitches. And sometimes a camera
Trudeau
arrives.
Or Trudeau. Like Trudeau.
Oh, but that's
another one of those weird guys that have issues with Trudeau's physical attractiveness and his, you know, this vague homophobic shit you hear all the time. Like, he's too theatrical. Look at his stupid socks. Like, there's an element of homophobia there, right? But I know he's not gay, but a lot of straight white guys I know over 50 think he's gayish and say terrible things about his physical attractiveness. Like, that's like they're jealous of him. It's weird.
It is jealousy.
Right in there.
It is jealousy. Bob Fife is in there. Don Martin is in there. The guy who is driving down the Queen's. the guy who was driving, who turned to go, I think it was southbound on Eagleson, the day that I was doing a sine wave, the day of the election, who was a big truck driver, morbidly obese, and who honked his horn and gave me the finger. And he had like terrible beard and obviously a genetic failure generally. He's also very jealous. So I saw you, sir.
And you remember, thanks for coarsening the dialogue. Ford saying he was gay. Like the Fords came right out, and there was that tape of Rob Ford talking about how gay he is. And my a relative of mine who works for one of them also was on a trip with a bunch of Tory staffers. And every time Trudeau's name was mentioned, they'd go, okay, okay.
Lovely.
Like, that's the element of moronic intellectualism that we're dealing with right now. And that's fuels a lot of the Trudeau hatred, which I just, it's so, anyway. That's it. I got to go. I'm getting too agitated.
Oh, I want to end with one thing.
Yeah, speaking, you get the last word.
Yeah.
Speaking of all the your straight white males who hate Trudeau, you can buy on the Wexit Alberta website a camouflage hat that says Wexit.
You know what?
It says what?
It says like Wexit.
Wow.
It's camo, though. It's
tools.
Perfect.
You know,
it's perfect. It's $30. Someone buy it for me.
You know what? I'm not going to demean Albertans and Saskatchewans, but you know what? If if Jason Kenney and Scott Moe are your champions of the Republic of Alberta Swin.
Albatuan.
Yeah. Albatuan.
Albatuan.
Good luck to you. Good luck to you all.
But the camo Wexit hat is perfect. Like, well, it is perfect.
Well, who knows? Maybe that's what you'll get for Christmas this year, Mike.
All right. That's what I want.
All right. Thanks, folks.
Okay. Okay. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Thanks again to the FU Network for bringing us on board. Mike and Leanne, of course, as always, thank you. Thank you as well for everybody listening. I'm away, so we're not recording next week, as I will be over in Paris for a few days. But we'll be back the week after. So in the meantime, enjoy the election results, unless you're a conservative, and then you, well, enjoy them all the more with salt. Okay, thanks, everybody. Have a good week. Bye.
This is fun! The FU Network!